Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Have your Bibles ready. I don't know if we have that slide too, if we can put up there. I always want to remind people of the Bible app. It's a great app to get if you do not have an app for the Bible. Thank you, guys. And, you know, it's important to read the Word. Come on, right? It's important to read the Word. And don't just take my word for it. You got to get into the Word. You got to read the Word. You got to study the Word. As Pastor was sharing about Korea, I saw this clip. I have no idea who this guy was. I believe he was in China. I think it was in China. Just a clip that came across my Facebook feed. And he was with the Chinese church. And whatever they were doing, it kind of like cuts into the his sharing. So I don't know the whole story, but he was basically talking about that if they get caught, he gets expelled from the country, you know, within 24 hours. The Chinese people go to jail for 3 years. And it was kind of like one of those moments. He's like, do you want to really do this? And they're like, of course we want to do this. He's like, but I just get expelled. You go to jail. He's like, yeah. So he asked the room, whoever was speaking, how many have gone to jail? And he said, most of the room I'd raise their hands. And again, if you've seen this clip and I get it wrong, forgive me. I just watched it once and it came to mind as she was speaking, pastor was speaking. Basically, he said, turn to Timothy. And, you know, people were turning to Timothy in the Bible if they had one, and somebody had a Bible but gave it to the other person. And so he asked, how come you're giving the Bible? And they said, I already have Timothy memorized. How did you memorize Timothy? Well, the response was 3 years is a long time in the prison. So we memorize scripture. So, well, how do you get scripture? Well, we write it on pieces of paper and we give them like a verse at a time. And so everybody takes that verse and they're like, well, don't they confiscate it? They said, yes, that's why we memorize it really quickly. And then as the conversation went on, she said, Pastor, you guys have such freedom. Can you pray for us to have that? Can you pray? And he said, I won't. Like, he was taken back by the story. He said, I will not pray for that for you. And she was like shocked. Why won't you? He said, well, and I'm not trying to do this to condemn you or me. It makes me realize when you have so much, you can take it for granted. Because he says, you traveled an hour to get to this meeting. He said, most people, if it's, you know, 10 minutes or more, they may not go to that church. You sat on a wooden floor for 3 hours, actually 3 days and 3 hours for this service. Most people won't come if the chairs aren't cushiony enough. We've had no air conditioning the whole time, and it's been hot in our churches. If we have no air conditioning, people won't show up. He says, I won't pray for that for you because you far surpass us. I was like, oh my gosh. You know, help us, Lord, right? And that's not to condemn us, but maybe it is. We're in this series about our hearts. And I thought, Lord, I had to check my heart. Oh, dear Lord, I think I have some of that in there. Help me, Lord. Because we live in a wonderful nation where we have such freedom. And such freedom can cause us to sometimes take it for granted, can it? So, Lord, I pray you help us today. Lord, we're on this series, heart. Whatever's going on, I ask that you would tenderize our hearts, that you would... Well, whatever's going on in our hearts, you see it, you know it, you know more about our hearts than we do. There are things that we haven't even looked at in our hearts. I pray, Father God, as I speak, that you would just heal our hearts and help our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I was reminded two things. One, this whole series on heart, out of Proverbs, guard your heart with all diligence, right? We need to guard our hearts. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Rod last week did a wonderful message on offense. You know, how can you have a wonderful message on offense? Well, when your eyes are opened, if you have offense, that's a wonderful message. And if you get healed of that, that's a wonderful message, right? Okay, you tracking with me? And he brought up the prophetic word about we need to get offense dealt with in our life. His word was basically in 6 weeks, you know, it can really affect us. And I'm taking that serious. I'm like, Lord, I want my heart to be healed in 6 weeks. We will always have more opportunities to have to get healed. But whatever's in there right now, I want it to be healed. Anybody else? because I don't know what he has in store for us after that, but I know there's like a choice there. We could get our hearts healed and go into the fruitfulness of the Lord, or we could have our hearts still hardened and miss maybe the good things that God has for us. And the reality is this, that will he just turn from us? No, but we could miss the greater, because he'll give us a chance to come back around. He's always merciful, but I don't want to miss what he has, right? So I was thinking about that. I was on the couch yesterday just kind of thinking, and the Lord brought me back to this game that we played. Ange, you would have been there. There's a few young adults still left in here that went to camp, and I'm pretty sure it was called Guard Your Heart. I'm pretty sure we were talking about this at camp, and we devised, Dan Langus and I devised this game where a person on the team, because in camp, they were in different teams, and they had to compete against each other, and one person had to stand on this piece of wood, and then every corner of that piece of wood had a rope coming up, so there's four, you remember this game? So the team members could lift up the person and run with the person on that board. Now, that person was wearing a white t-shirt, and we had the rest of the team had to guard that person, which was like the heart. They had to guard that person. And so they're trying to run, and they're trying to swat because we're whipping sponges at them. Steve, were you there for this game? You don't think so. So we had sponges with coloring. It was such a fun game because we got to whip them. And other team members were whipping them. So the goal was to keep as many of those sponges from hitting the person in the middle. Because in the end, if they hit, right, they'd have these dots on them from getting hit. And so it was a team effort to guard that person in the middle by swatting down all these things. And it reminded me that this is what we do in the body of Christ, isn't it? We're trying to guard our hearts. But what it did remind me of, I need you and you need me, right? Because there are times where it is hard enough to guard my own heart, but sometimes we need somebody, a friend, to come over and just swat that thing down because we're not seeing that arrow coming. Amen? So our whole goal in this is to really have a tender heart. I want you to turn to a scripture, and I'm going to use some paint. I may have Tony. Do you mind coming up and helping me? Because I'm just realizing it's going to be hard to paint. And yeah, I didn't tell you about that part. So I know you love me, Tony. Yeah. Well, you always paint in the corner. There's no fun with that. Do me a favor and turn to Ezekiel. Could you just, while I'm reading a scripture, can you just paint black heart for me? Yeah, it doesn't have to be huge. The other thing I was thinking of, how many have seen the movie Braveheart? It's it's one of those guy movies. I was thinking of that movie. That was the other thing while I was preparing this message, and this moment in Braveheart came to mind, where he is. They've devised this battle, and it's going well. It's the Scottish against the English, and at one point he raises his flag to have the other tribes come in. And when he raises that flag, all the other tribe members begin to pull away. They basically betray him. And that's, of course, at that moment, the battle starts going down for the Scottish because this was all planned out. They were all supposed to come in as reinforcements. So it's already a bad moment. And there's a scene where they're almost devastated, but he sees, I think it's the king going away. So he jumps on his horse. And he rides, and as he's riding, the guy in the back says to another soldier, he says, "Hey, protect the king." And so this man turns around, and he goes, and he jousts Braveheart, William Wallace, and William Wallace falls off the horse and pretends that he's injured. You know the scene that I'm talking about? How many remember this? And as the gentleman comes over, he's got a full mask on, so you can't see who it is. As the gentleman comes over to look, William Wallace turns over and flips him and then rips off his mask. And he sees that it's Robert the Bruce, who was the other one that was supposed to be fighting him in the battle. So the one that was supposed to be on his side that devised this plan and they were all going to work together, he rips it off and that's Robert the Bruce. And he realizes he's been betrayed by everybody. And Mel Gibson, in that moment, a phenomenal actor, because you see this shock on his face of betrayal. Like he backs up and he just, I wish I could show, we can't because of just streaming rights and all that. We can't, that means our feed gets shut down. But there's this moment of just utter betrayal. You can see it in his eyes, and you know it's not a mental moment. It's hitting his heart of betrayal. And at that point, he basically, because he is injured, you just see him like slowly lay down. Like the life is gone out of him. The fight is gone out of him. Now, feeling this hour, thank you, Tony. You can just sit down for a minute. I'll call you back up. See, that already is a way better heart than I would have been able to do while I was trying to preach. If I remember the rest of the movie, he begins to build himself back up, but his heart is wounded more than the wound in his side or wherever it was. His heart was a greater wounding. And I'm determined, and I'll show you the scriptures, that if the enemy can wound our hearts, he is far better off than wounding anything else. Because if he can get our hearts, it affects everything. If you're going to remember anything today and through this series, is the condition of your heart determines the outcome of your life. The condition of your heart determines the outcome of your life. And through this series, I can't tell you how many times that I have had to stop and go, dang, I'm offended. I was talking with a counselor that I meet with on a occasional regular basis, and I'm telling him a story. And it's like, as I was telling him the story, I literally went, I just got to stop for a second. I'm offended. Lord, show me another moment. If we want our hearts to be healed and we are crying out for it, he will be faithful to show us. And I share this, I think, in the first or second week. Watch your mouth, because your mouth will show you if you're offended. Because I was just trying to tell him a story about a moment in our history as a church, and I went, oh, I'm still holding offense for that moment. I didn't even think so. So turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel, if I didn't tell you that already. Ezekiel 36. Did I give you the address already? Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27. Now, this is Old Covenant, Old Testament. This is under the Mosaic Law. We need to kind of always remember where we're at in the history. Okay, so this is Ezekiel. And he says this, verse 26, and I will give you a new heart. Everybody say new heart with me. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. He is prophesying of a time to come one day. So they're under the law, and they're realizing this law is not doing so well for us. And he says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. Tony, could you just come up and draw us a red heart, please? So this is Ezekiel prophesying that one day they'll come, the ability to have a brand new heart and a brand new spirit. I don't know what the people were thinking at that point, but I realized that there are hundreds of years after Ezekiel before this comes to pass. And they're trying to be faithful followers of God under a law. And he's saying, listen, if you look at it, he says, I will take out your stony and stubborn heart. So what does that mean they have? A stony, a stubborn heart. He says, I'll take it out. So you must have it. He says, I'm going to give you a new heart. Now listen, you know, most people, I know most of you in here, some I may not. When you invite Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, we use this term, invite him into your heart. It's not like big God comes and now dwells in your little teeny heart. What you're saying is, Lord, I surrender my heart to you. Now, what he does do when you say that, Lord, I ask you to come into my life, he's sending his spirit into your life. So in that moment, he wants to create a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Now, I wish it was so easy that after that, we never, ever had a problem with a hard heart again. How many would like that? I so wish. So we've got this understanding that we've got Proverbs and we've got the new covenant. We've got Ezekiel saying this. It doesn't mean that everything didn't make it into the new covenant, because what Solomon says in Proverbs is just as important as it is today. It is our job to guard our new heart. Okay, turn to your neighbor and says, it's your job to guard your heart. Now back to that in Proverbs, I'll read it again. It says, this is New King James, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. This is the Passion. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellsprings of life. So we have this idea that in the old covenant, they really had a dark and blackened heart. The law was not fixing their hearts. We need to understand that. Just by following every rule and trying to do everything right was not fixing their hearts. They still had a stubborn, broken heart. But then Jesus comes along and he gives us a new heart. Now it's our job of what we're gonna do with that new heart and new spirit. The Spirit's there to help guard us, okay? You following along? I want to share something a little different today, I guess, not really. You'll understand where I'm going. Turn to Matthew 24. What I want to do is I want to take a scripture that we often use, and so many use it as the end time scriptures. Like Matthew 24 is always like, well, this is referring to the end. I'm not going to touch on what you think about that, but it's not just the end if you think it's the end. What I want to share is that scripture is relevant now as it is if that's the end. You following me? Because Jesus is saying this, and I want to show you in a few minutes that Paul was living it. So we often go, oh, Matthew 24 is for much time later. Jesus speaks it, Paul is living it. Okay? Matthew 24, verse 9. Krista, could you open that water for me, please? Matthew 24, verse 9, I'm going to be reading out of New King James if you want to switch to that, if you're not. It says this, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. I'll read it one more time. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another. Did you catch that? And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. A couple things I want you to understand there. It says, tribulation will arise. You'll be hated by all nations for his name's sake, and many will be offended. I'm doing this fascinating study right now on Paul. It's really cool. This gentleman goes out and he literally walks the road that Paul walked. He travels through all the churches that Paul speaks at and brings things to light. He's showing you architecture, and it's just amazing. I actually hope to go there soon to walk this kind of some of these areas. What I love about Paul, what he's doing is that he's taking you into Greek areas where they worship, they're not worshiping God or Yahweh, they're worshiping Apollo, Apollos, all the deities. They're worshiping the things that we make Marvel movies about. Okay, this is who they worship. And so he's walking along, and what is so awesome and what he brings to light is the fact that Paul is a Jew, first of all. He's a Roman citizen, but he's a Jew. He's a Pharisee. That means that he followed the law to perfection, and he talks about that in different areas. He goes through his pedigree, and he says, listen, he's boasting, I'm the best among all of you if you want to kind of show our resume. Like, I'm the Jew of Jews, I'm the Pharisee of Pharisees, I follow the law. He literally killed people that were coming against the law. Pardon? The way. Well, killed people coming against the way because he was following the law. Thank you. If you know about Paul, Paul is on the road to Damascus. It's a famous story where Jesus shows up and knocks him off his horse and basically opens his eyes to what he's doing. After this, after he's baptized, it's a really cool story. That's not where I want to go. He literally goes and spends 3 years trying to figure out what happened. He's trying to understand, like, Jesus is Lord. This is the guy that I was killing people that were following Jesus. And now you're telling me he is the Lord because I had an experience and it was real. And he changes everything. But not only does he change his mind, he literally changes everything he believes about the law. Like, it is huge. Whoa, that was fun. Turn to your Bibles and grab a hold of just the beginning of Matthew. Paul is basically, that's not living water coming out of that, that's real water. Paul is basically having to rethink all this. Everything that he's ever known, he's having to rethink. And in 3 years, he goes on the backside of a desert, we have Kleenex, and he begins to rethink it. No, I want to drink it. So after that, he begins to realize he's not called to the Jewish people. He's called to the Gentiles. You got to realize that in itself did not exist. So Peter, James, and John, all those disciples, they're like, we are still preaching to the Jewish people because in their minds, this gospel is still for the Jewish people. And it's hard to understand because we read these passages and it looks like it's really close together, but I'm trying to remember if they thought it was 20 or more years before Peter was even confronted with the fact that he had to give the gospel to the Gentiles. And it was really through a vision that he became aware of that and through Paul. So you've got a Jewish man who has this revelation and he goes, I'm going to bring this gospel that's only meant for the Jewish people. I'm going to bring it to the Gentiles. That's crazy. So he begins to go throughout Greece, Athens, Corinth, and all these different areas, and he begins to present them with something that was only a Jewish concept. He's now presenting and saying, you have full access to this. Now, it seems like a great idea, but you have to remember all throughout Greece, all these people already had their own gods. You following me? So he's now coming into an area and he's saying, listen. And it's so cool. This guy goes through and I did not realize how much Paul pulled out of culture to share who the real God was. And he's pulling out of culture. He's like, I know you have this and I know you have that, but I'm going to tell you about the one true God. Now, it sounds like it's a great thing, but he was persecuted because he was doing that. Okay? The Romans didn't like him because he was stirring up trouble in their land. So he was persecuted by them. You make a long story short, at the end of his journey, he says, I got to go to Jerusalem. And nobody wants him to go to Jerusalem because they know if he goes, death is going to await him. He's going to be arrested. It's going to be bad. And he says, listen, God's calling me to go to Jerusalem. He gets to Jerusalem. I can't read the story. There's too much. He gets to Jerusalem and there's this big discussion of going, listen, what do we do? And he said, I never saw this before, but James, who is the head of the church at this time, he says, listen, there are thousands of devout followers who follow the law. And basically what he's saying is, you're coming in telling people not to follow the law, to follow Jesus in this brand new way where the law doesn't really matter anymore. You don't have to get circumcised. You got to follow Jesus and not the law. You getting it? But these are thousands of Jewish, now messianic believers. And he's like, if you share your gospel, they're going to get angry. So now you've got Gentiles don't like him. Romans don't like him. And now he's in Jerusalem and the Jews don't like him. And what did it say? This is Jesus saying, they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all the nations for my name's sake, and then many will be offended. If you go through this story, They're basically like, listen, can you like tone this down? And can you go to the temple? And can you do some of the traditions so people will not get so offended? And I don't understand the full thing, but Paul, it sounds like he's trying to find this balance. And he goes, and what happens is they see him with Gentiles that are not ever supposed to be in the temple, and they begin to get angry. And the crazy thing is, this is Jewish people that are following the law, and this is Jewish people that are following Jesus, and all of them are angry at him. Just stop and think for a minute. I shared the other day about Jesus on the cross. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. I'm just perplexed by that. Like, that to me is incredible. And then we say something like, we want to follow the way of Jesus. So now we have Paul, who we have an example of somebody following the way of Jesus. Because in that moment, it says the crowd was so violent. Again, you got Romans that are standing by. You've got, I don't know where the Gentiles were, but I know you've got Jews that believe in the law, that they hate them. You've got Jews that believe in Jesus, but they believe in the law, they hate them. Everybody hates them. And it was so violent, it said the Roman soldiers had to put Paul on their hands above the crowd to get rid of him. Now, I don't know about you, but I've dealt with this in some minor ways, and I feel my heart went black because offense set in. Like, how can stuff like this happen in your kingdom? How can people betray? I have been betrayed. You've all been betrayed. And I stop, and I've been open. I've been angry, and frustrated and confused, and my mom's heard it, and Claude's heard it, and my wife has definitely heard it. And in that moment, I realized that, folks, my heart is getting black. I'm getting offended. I'm getting confused, all these things. And then I read this scripture, and this is what happens. Paul says to a Roman soldier, in his language, he says, stop, stop. Can you put me down for a minute? Because I got to address these people. And he does, and he starts speaking to the people in their language. Paul's gifted. He knows how to communicate into, like, in one minute, he's like, whoa, whoa, you speak my language. And then the Jewish people, you speak our language. And you think in that moment he would turn around and say, what the heck is wrong with you people? He doesn't. He turns around in that moment when they want to rip him apart, and he literally shares the gospel of love of Jesus. He tries to get them to understand the gospel that he's sharing is the true gospel. He's like pleading, you need to listen to me. This is the true gospel. It doesn't work, and they want to rip him apart. My point is this. Paul has something that I'm trying to get to. Paul didn't have a hard heart, because in that moment, he was working out of this heart. He wasn't angry that they were betraying him. He wasn't angry that they weren't listening. He had the heart of the Father so desperate for them to know the true heart of Jesus. So let's continue on here. Matthew 24, 9 to 12. And it says, for my name's sake, and it says, and many will be offended. Well, you need to know that at times the disciples were offended. The Jews who followed the law were offended. The Christians who followed the law still were offended. Everybody was offended. And they will betray one another and will hate one another. They were betraying Paul and they were hating Paul. Then false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And then it says this, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Remember that line, and I want you to flip over to Matthew 7 with me, please. We have this word that just popped up. It says, lawlessness will abound. Now, lawlessness can mean many things. If you look in your Bible, some say iniquity, some say sin. But the actual definition of lawlessness is this: the condition of without law. Lawlessness means that there's no law, right? If you're lawless, you have no law. Often we would think, and it's not that it's not part of this, because sin does play a part into this definition, but we'll often think that they're without the law. And because we often mix these gospels, we begin to think about all the law and all the things that we do wrong, okay? Matthew 7 says this, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Man, if any scripture has scared me throughout the years, it was that scripture. Because what it makes you think, if you read it in the wrong way, you think, man, am I doing this all out of law? Like how am I doing this and I'm not listening to God? I'm sinning because I'm not hearing his, like, we can get really caught up in that. But what I want to try to get you to do is understand that Jesus is preaching out of a new covenant. I'm going to read it for you. You don't have to turn there. This is John 13. You can write it down if you want. John 13, this is Jesus. He says, a new commandment or law I give you today, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So Jesus brings a brand new covenant, and he says, this is the command I give you, love one another. This is the law of the new covenant. You following me? Then Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. We often think he's going back to the Old Testament and all the laws and all the things we're not supposed to do. I don't believe he is. He's saying, you who practice lawlessness, what is the law of the new covenant? Love one another. Here's how I'm going to prove it to you. Go to 1 Corinthians, and then I'll finish up with the heart. 1 Corinthians 13. Actually, we'll start chapter 12 of the last previous book, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13. This is, again, Paul, and he says, he goes through all the gifts. He talks about the apostles and the, you know, all that. He talks about prophecy, but then he says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. So he gets done talking about all that, and he's like, do it, man. Desire the gifts. That's awesome. You want the gifts. You want to know how to prophesy. You want to know how to evangelize. You want to know how to pastor and be an apostle. That's great. But then he says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now, chapter 13. We know this well. We speak it at weddings. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, like that's a lot there, right? I have prophecy, I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And then he goes into the beautiful definition. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but then that which is perfected has come, then that which is in part will be done away. It's actually talking about, anyway, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but then I became a man and I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known, and abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. That's a lot to get to this point. we worry of whether we should be, like, if we're prophesying out of the wrong moment, if we're doing all these things, and we get caught up, are we hearing the voice of the Lord? I want to argue that it's actually none of that. It's whether we're doing all of it out of love. And what I see happening, and this is why I believe the Lord has us here, is because we're entering a season where it's going to be really hard to discern. There's some really great things happening in the world, and there's some really confusing things happening, and all of it is being done in the name of Jesus. And I want to argue, sometimes we see something being done that seems like it's good, and this is what Jesus says. Listen, you did all these good things, but you didn't have love, and it means nothing. And here's the thing. It's very odd, and I'll take a scripture. You know, sometimes it's like we're doing the right thing, and we're trying to do it, but it's this weird mixture. Have you ever read something in the news, or you heard something, you're like, it's just weird, it's a mixture. Like, your heart's like, oh, that seems good, but something weird. Anybody? Like, I'm seeing it all the time, and I'm trying to, like, discern, Lord, what's going on? And he keeps bringing me back to, what is the condition of our hearts? And I've preached up here, and I've brought words that I'm like this internally. And I know it can seem so good on the outside. I'll confess, I'm conflicted. I'm trying to preach the word, but I'm wrestling inside with the very word that I'm preaching. It's the weirdest thing. If you've ever shared with somebody, parents, you would know this. You're sharing the truth with your kids, but the very truth that you're sharing, you're convicted because you don't always follow it. Now are we getting real? That's what I'm talking about. Where I know this is the word of God, but I'm struggling in my own way. Why? Because offense set in, and it began to make my heart more black than it did red. And what God is trying to do right now is get all that mixture out. That's not helping. Now, I want to read a scripture that'll help with this. Turn to James 3. I know it's a lot of scripture, but I'd rather you read the word and hear it than just take my word for it. James 3, verse 8. You know, we do this thing on Sunday, we preach. And I realize, like, if sometimes I'm trying to remember my message from 2 weeks ago and I wrote it, surely you're having a hard time remembering. And that actually scares me. Scares me in the sense, not scares me, concerns me. Let's go with that. Because I really believe this is God in these messages. Not because I wrote it, because God's... I had a whole different message last night I went to bed with and woke up and got this. And I believe that the Lord is trying to say, we need our hearts to be so healed in this hour. And I know that me preaching to you is not going to heal your heart. The only way your heart's going to get healed is if you do what I'm trying to do, is I go home and every morning I'm trying to say, Lord, my heart is sometimes in agony. My heart is sometimes offended. My heart is sometimes bitter. Lord, I need you to heal my heart. I don't want to stay like this because it's not working. My wellspring of life is sometimes muddied like this. Sometimes it's like this, sometimes it's like this, sometimes, like, it is, I don't want to be like that, because if I am like that, chances are, if I go through a situation like Paul, I'm not going to turn around and tell people about Jesus. I'm going to kick him in the tush for causing me harm. That's the reality. But his heart was the very thing we talked about in Ezekiel. He had a new heart and a new spirit. And in that moment, he turned around with love for his brethren. Not anger. He understood they weren't getting the message. And instead of being angry, he loved and preached to them. James says this, verse 8, chapter 3. No man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Some of you are like, I'm sure you're talking about your own tongue, not your neighbor's. With it, we bless God and Father, and with it, we curse men we have been in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. And look at, he says, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. He's not saying this is impossible. He's not saying, like, now that you have a new heart, that doesn't happen anymore, so therefore you don't have a new heart. No, he's saying, this ought not to be. He's basically saying, brethren, we got to get our hearts right because we don't want to do that. We don't want in 1 minute to be blessing God, having a worship service, and we're just, man, this is fantastic. I love you, Jesus, and we're crying, and the next minute we walk out and we curse somebody in the foyer. Oh, no, we wouldn't curse people in our church, at least not to their faces. But we're driving down the road and somebody cuts us off and we curse. I'm just trying to be real, right? I pick on my wife the other day. I'll pick on her now. I didn't say anything at the moment, but we were driving and somebody pulled out right in front of us. And Krista doesn't usually get vocal, but she was like, what are you doing? She turned Italian all of a sudden. Hey! Do you remember this? I think it was last night. Yeah, I was like, whoa. She did all just recently get done in the same day, the same car ride, I think, get done preaching. I think she was on a roll. She didn't flip him the finger or anything like that. Let me just, you know, she was just very vocal. She was like, hey, what are you doing? The reality of life. And maybe you never say it, but let's go deeper, man. Maybe you think it. Have you ever noticed I'm going to go back to James in a second. That when your heart is in this condition and it's really pure and it's really red, have you ever taken notice that you just don't respond the same way? Somebody cuts you off. Love you, brother. I bless you. You must be in a hurry. I bless you. Hey, go before me. It's okay. I'm serious. We actually respond very differently depending on where our hearts are at. You get in a fight with somebody and you're walking down the road, or you're driving down the road and they're walking and they are 1 foot closer to the road than they are the walkway. And you're like, what's with you people? Can't you walk on the side of the road? Why? Because there's something in your heart. You're angry and it's coming out. I'll give you another example. Have you ever blasted a coworker and they're like, I just wanted a glass of water. And you just let them have it. And they're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And we say expressions like, oh, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed. That's not what it is. Your heart is somewhere. This mixture is happening. And this is James. He's like, man, we love God in one breath. We curse men in another breath. And then he doesn't say this shouldn't happen. He says this ought not to be. Like, this is not how we're supposed to act. And then he says, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives and grape, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Basically, he's saying, we don't want to be like that. We want to be fresh. How do we get there? Let's go back to Proverbs. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life, the wellsprings of life. Connie gave me a word the other day. It was great. I preached, and I don't think Connie's ever gave me a word, but it was awesome. She texted me. She's like, I had this morning, then you preached this message. She said, hold on, my people, because there's going to be a shakedown. Right away, you're like, but listen, this is a good shakedown. For too long, we've let worldly idealisms grab hold and take root. We've let seeds of fear and anxiety and anger, hate all things that are not God, take root, and we've let them grow. We've built foundations on rot and decay, and he's not letting that continue in 2025. He's coming to shake you down. That sounds bad, right? But no, he's coming to shake you down, to tear out all the decay and rot and weeds that we've all been allowing to grow and spread. And he's coming to replace all of those holes left behind from toxic growth with all the things that were supposed to be there, all of the things that were supposed to be nourishing from the beginning, his love, his word, his promises, his light, so that you can grow the way he was planned for you. That's a good word. Like, you could think of it this way. If you have a garden and there's all these weeds growing and it is affecting the plants that you really want to grow, you want to go and do a shakedown in that garden, right? You want to get all those weeds out and you want it to be able to grow properly. Listen, I don't want my heart to be hardened anymore. Not when Jesus has given us a new heart. Let me go back to that. In the law, they had no choice. Their heart was hardened. In the new covenant, we have a brand new heart and a brand new spirit that wants to lead us into living like this. I don't want to try to paint anymore and have it mixed. I really want to get to this place. And I want to see, you know, it's going to be a confusing season as we walk through the next few years. And I really am asking myself every time I see something, Lord, I want to view it from the eyes of love. Please do not hear that I'm okay with all the sin. But what Jesus did when he saw things, he actually dealt with things through love for the person. He hates sin. He loves people and he wants to get them back to health. He never discarded a person. He wanted to love them back to health. That's why Jesus, in the moment that he's dying on the cross, can say, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's why Paul, almost being ripped apart, turns around and shares the gospel of love. Are you getting it? But all I know is that my heart, at times, because of offense, because of bitterness, because of anger, because of confusion, because of all these things. And one of the things I have not touched on, you know what often happens is we can forgive people, but you know who the hardest person is to forgive? Ourselves. We kick ourselves. Why did I make this stupid decision? What? How can God love me still? You know, how could I have done that? I have been there so many times. And sometimes you could forgive people, but you have to go, Lord, I got to forgive myself. And I'll end with this, and then we're going to take communion. The same guy, Paul, who went through all of that, find the scripture, says this. Somewhere in my notes. I want to read two scriptures that he says. Paul says this. Pastor Rod read it last week, Philippians 1. He says, and I pray that your love may abound still more in the knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. And then a few chapters later, he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. So he's like, I haven't made it. I am not there yet. I am aiming for perfection. I'm not there yet. Don't you love how Paul can be real? Honestly, I'm like, thank God, because he's not like, I've made it perfect. I'm here. Why aren't you guys? He's like, no, I'm not there. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. He is not talking about hitting his thumb with a hammer and saying the F word. He's talking about killing the followers of Christ. He's talking about potentially in the room that he preaches in, he might have killed somebody's brother or sister or father. Like, that's who he's talking. Like, he has to forget all those things that he did from the past and move on towards the high calling. And that's the only way that his heart could go from, if he lived in that place of, I can't believe I did this. I'm such a loser. Like, not even a loser. I am. How could God, you use me? If he stayed in that place, his heart would stay darkened. But Paul got to a place to go, look, I'm not thinking about that because I have a new heart and I am a new man. I forget all those things that are behind me and I'm going forward. And listen, we get to do that every day. Oh, Lord, I did it again. I blew it. I'm forgetting the things of yesterday, and I'm putting my heart towards the things of tomorrow and forward. And that is the only possible way that we will have a pure heart. So when it talks about this lawlessness, it's not, oh, all the sin. It's like, no, I'm trying to do things without a pure heart. I need to get back to a pure heart. Amen? Why don't we grab our communion? Becca, would you mind coming to the piano, please? Yeah, it's right here. If you need communion, they're coming around. You can just raise your hand. This is where I believe Jesus wants to take us. Where somebody could be in your face screaming at you. And you don't see that. The Lord begins to show you their heart. You could walk into a situation that is horrific, horrible, all that. And you don't see that. You don't see what the person's doing. You don't see what your son or daughter is doing and how they're dishonoring you in that moment and how, you know, they did exactly the opposite. The Lord wants us to get to a point where our heart is so pure that we can see them. And we can go, what's going on in their heart? The Lord has taught me over the years that with parenting my children, I've had to learn to parent out of a new covenant, not out of an old covenant. I've had to look at them and go, in those moments, what's going on in their heart? Getting way better at it than I used to be. We are getting way better at it than we used to be. I wish I had those skills, and I'd love to pass those on earlier, because there are moments with our kids. I remember one of our children just coming down, and they were so angry. They were shaking. But my heart wasn't always in the best place, and my understanding wasn't in the best place, because what I saw was he's defying what I'm telling him to do. You got to go to school. You need to go to school. And he's shaking. I wish I could go back. I forget those things that are behind. It's not that I dwell on these things, but in that moment, I wish I could go back. And I wish I could look at my son and find out what was going on in his heart, because I didn't know he was being bullied horrifically at school. And his defiance was not defiance, it was fear. But I was doing what I thought to do. So I'm trying to live out of this heart place. It's pure, red. But I realize I'm still often in a mixture. My heart is angry and I don't want to live there. I don't want to talk to the people that I'm still working out my offense with. I want to be offense-free so I can look at them and go, I'm just putting all that behind me and living now so I can work with you or talk with you or just move on. So I want to ask you today, where's your heart? We take communion. This is the beautiful thing that we get to take communion, and he can come in an instant right now, begin to heal your heart. All the things you've walked through. So let's just close our eyes, because I feel God's here. Lord, I ask you right now to walk around this room. I will be the first to confess, Lord, I cannot heal myself. I can give it to you. But there are, Lord, deep wounds here. There's betrayal. There's agony from decisions made. There's moments like I shared where we did it wrong. But Lord, right now you want to heal every heart in this room. Don't be afraid to let the Lord touch your heart. Maybe you need to just forgive somebody. You need to just tell them, I forgive you. They're not here. You just need to speak it. I forgive. Thank you, Lord, for your healing. Lord, we put even these things in our hands today before we take communion. It sounds weird, but what I'm saying is we put those people in front of us, those people that have hurt us or offended us or betrayed us. You can say their names, not out loud. You can just say them and put those in front of you, Lord, to the best of our ability. Well, you see the moments, the words spoken, the moments where our heart was broken, hope was deferred or destroyed. Betrayal was deep. Marriages ended. Friendships were severed. Words were spoken. We put them all in front of you. Know that because you forgive, it does not mean that made it right. There was still injustice done to people in here. But forgiving releases you and them, but it does not make what they did right. And we have to remember that, or else we can't fully forgive. The Lord knows. What we're basically doing is saying, Lord, we give them to you. Because I can't hold it anymore. It's killing me. It's killing my peace. It's killing my heart. It's killing my gut. It's killing whatever. I want my heart to be tender again. So, Lord, we just give these people to you. We give these situations to you. We give the confusion to you. We give the pain to you. Holy Spirit, I ask you now to just flood this room. Because it's the promise that you said you'd give us your Spirit. Would you begin to breathe life? Lord, the areas that have been darkened from pain in their hearts, would you breathe life? We ask for new flesh upon hearts. You would pull out the rot, as that word said from Connie, and you would put in new growth. Lord, as we prepare to take communion, Lord, everything that you are doing in our hearts is because of the cross. There was no new heart without the cross. There was no new spirit without the cross. Let's just open our communions. Lord, we thank you for the body that you broke, your body, on the cross. Lord, I thank you that your death gives a resurrection of our hearts. So Lord, we, by faith, take it today and ask that you would resurrect every part of our heart that has been hurt and hardened. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, thank you for the blood of Jesus. As we take this blood, representation of the blood that you shed on the cross, Lord, we thank you that you did all that. Your blood was shed. Your back was torn. Your hands were pierced. Your side was pierced. You did all of that so we could have a new heart and new life and eternal life. And we say we are grateful. We are grateful. In Jesus' name. Encourage you as you go through the week, listen for signs around you, because usually it'll show you that God's trying to heal a part of your heart. Maybe somebody cuts you off and you get angry, and then you say, Lord, what's still there that I get so angry? Why don't I have peace in this moment? My conversation with the gentleman I was speaking with, I shared a story, and it was a difficult story and of something that happened. And his response was, man, you must be just really praying for that person. And that was a sign, because I wasn't. What he said was new heart. What I was in was old heart. In that moment, I thought, you know, he's totally right. I'm still carrying the victim card in that moment. And he was looking beyond that, going, man, that person must really be challenged right now. And you praying for him? And I thought, no, I'm not. But I am now. It's just simply a sign. And I'm not living in that place anymore where I feel God angry. I just feel him going, let's just get, that's not you. That's not the best you. Let's take that to a new heart level, amen? Of a pure heart. So Lord, as we close today, Lord, I thank you that you want us to each have a pure heart, a new heart, a completely whole heart. As we go throughout the week, Lord, would you do only what you can do and begin to bring things to mind that we can take to you then and go, Lord, there's something still there. Would you heal my heart? Work on us throughout the week, Lord. I pray that this would not be a message that we let drop, but a message that we carry all week. And we ask you to do a shakedown so we can level up. New hearts. I bless everyone here, Lord. I pray that you would heal the hearts even as the scabs are being slowly peeled off so you can heal. Would you heal hearts today? And bless every person here. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here and you're like, you know what, that stirred up a whole lot of stuff and you want prayer, come on to the prayer lines. If you want to talk, please do it out there. And if you want to just sit for a few minutes, if Becca has time, you're welcome to do that. If not, have a wonderful day. We bless you and may your week be incredible. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.